You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Now that the Texans have moved Kareem Jackson to safety, where can they find extra help at cornerback? We're going to look at who might still be available in today's show. Plus, we'll see if DeAndre Hopkins deserved a higher spot in the NFL Network's top 100. And a Texans rival loses maybe a key player thanks to PEDs. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with co-host Brian Patterson from House of Houston. Thanks for jumping on the Locked On Texans podcast, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're coming at you every day through the offseason. And Brian, you know, with Kareem Jackson moving from over to safety from cornerback with Dre Hall's cancer diagnosis, I thought we'd go over some of the guys that maybe the Texans could pick up at cornerback, because that really leaves you light at cornerback. When you look at cornerback, Brian, it's just J.J. and Aaron Colvin would be the starters. Kevin Johnson, you know, all the injuries, we know he's, you know, not that good at this point right now when you look at injuries and what he did last year. So they could use some depth there, because after that, it's Bodemosi, who doesn't play a ton of cornerback. You mostly got him for special teams. And then, you know, the rookies, the young guys, because Tristan Decoud's also moved over to safety. So give us some names. What are some guys that the Texans can go after? Who are some guys they can?
Well, here's some guys that they can go after. You know, the list, the pickings are slim. A lot of the good guys have already been picked up in free agency. But let's start out with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. He's 32, has been with the Giants for quite a bit, but he struggled last season. And he didn't get along with the coaches, even though there's a new coaching staff in there. You know, he didn't get along with Bob McAdoo, and then they've got a new regime in there as well. He just didn't get along with them, but he was still good as far as his overall Pro Football Focus grade, 77.2, 77.3 in coverage. Not so nice in run defense, 44.6 and 57.2 on the passing front. I would say that the Texans probably wouldn't want to deal with him, but you never know what a type of change of scenery would occur, you know, for a player, and he could actually be playing better. But he's 32, so, you know, there are other guys that are available.
They camp bodies, though. I mean, you can say, oh, the Texans wouldn't want to deal with this or that. It's just they could use some camp bodies. And look, you take a chance on a guy like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. He's a veteran. He's been around. It'd be nice to have just some insurance. I mean, this is all it's about, insurance. Brian, you're not going to tell me any guy that I go, oh, brother, well, why don't we get him? He's a starter. He's better than J.J. or Colvin. We're looking for fourth and fifth guys. This is what you're going to get. You know, you're not going to get anything special. But, you know, Rodgers-Cromartie, he's a veteran that I'd love to have.
I'd take a flyer on him. I mean, he's not terrible, you know, but it shows that there are some signs of him declining, but worth the risk. And next guy I've got up is Kayvon Webster. The guy has a torn Achilles, though. That was last season. He's probably going to start the season on the PUP list. He is talented. He's 27. The games he did play, 71.1 overall grade, 70.8 in coverage, 46.7 in run defense, and 60 in pass defense. So I just don't think the Texans, even though he's very talented, they probably want a guy that's going to be available for camp, available for the start of the season. And it doesn't look like that guy is going to be there to do that. Another guy, Delvin Bro, with the Saints. He's a restricted free agent, so they can match any offer any other team makes for him, which if they haven't signed him by now, they're telling him, hey, go get your offers and we'll see. So, but he was injured last season. He only played six games in the past two seasons. So he didn't even play last season. So that's a big risk for Bro as well. But don't think that they should go after him as a priority. There's also another guy with the Bills, Leonard Johnson. He's a cornerback. He's 28 years old, 60.3 overall, 65.1 in coverage, 55.2 in run defense, and 58.8 in pass coverage. So this is like one of those hard worker, blue collar guys that's going to be cheap to come into camp. He'll be a good camp body, I think. coming out of the Bills. But the best option to get, because you probably could start him some games just in case you need that for death, is Bashaud Breeland. It is amazing this guy is still available. He's 26. He's wildly inconsistent, but overall, he had 79 as far as his overall grade, 80.1 in coverage, 40.7 on the rush defense. That's not very good. And 59.1 in pass defense, which is still not good, but a little better. So I honestly think that with one interception and one touchdown off an interception, 19 passes defensed, he started 15 games, 34 tackles, 13 assisted. He's got all the tools and all the stats to indicate that he would be a good fit for the Texans. Just to kind of compare Kareem's stats, he had a 52.2 overall, 45.7 in coverage, 91.7 in run defense. Remember, we talked about this. He was the number one corner in run defense last season, and that's what has that going for him and has him continue his career, showing that he does still have value, but we're going to put him at safety. And 65.4 in pass coverage. So he ended up with 54 tackles, 19 assisted, 1 sack, 10 passes defense, 1 forced fumble, and 1 interception.
Well, we got to talk about though why he's still out there, because yeah, he's had a good record, but this is somebody that Bashaud Breeland, he's still not signed. Why is Bashaud Breeland not signed? Well, the Panthers tried to sign him. They got a 3-year, $24 million deal with him on paper back in March, but then he failed the physical. So, you know, the health is, again, a concern, just like it is with some of these guys that haven't signed yet. So you have to look at what's going on with him. Apparently it was some non-football related injury, but, you know, this is a player that's got a good record. He's Clemson. We love Clemson guys. So, yeah, Bashaud Breeland, it might be worth at least getting him in if he can play, if he can be on the football field. You know, him and Rogers Cromartie, to me, those are the two guys that you go, why not bring those two guys in? I mean, these are veterans. If they don't work out, they don't work out, but you shouldn't have to spend a lot of money on these guys. And the Texans, you know, we're still looking at what they're going to do with the Clowney extension. If they're not going to extend Clowney, you've got all sorts of money to throw around. You don't have to, you know, do guaranteed contracts with these guys that, you know, can't seem to find jobs elsewhere. But boy, the Texans could use some help at the cornerback spot, because, you know, Kevin Johnson and Jonathan Joseph, you know, they've got injury histories, and JJ's getting older. And, you know, it's just Aaron Colvin and not much else behind all of that, like I said. So to me, those are the two guys, right? Those are the two ones you'd want to bring in, huh?
That out of all of these guys mentioned, yeah, those are going to be your best bet. And I would love to take a chance on Breeland. But again, with his health, that's another risk. There's just a lot of question marks with the guys that are still available out there now. You have to think about, if Brian Gain has actually tried to inquire about these guys, has he gotten with their camp and say, hey, you know, can you come in, work with us? I know he's not thinking of the route of undrafted free agent. I mean, remember in his introductory press conference, he wanted to bring in guys that were experienced, that knew what they were doing. He doesn't want to deal with that. But again, with the limited options, do you just go and try to get a cheap undrafted free agent to fill that position? But it's something that you'll have to keep your eye on for that. So I'm just not sure what is in Brian Gain's psyche right now.
Yeah, we knew what Rick Smith would do. He would bring in a guy that was maybe younger, but he was good. You know, he did a really good job with young cornerbacks, bringing in undrafted free agents. So that was something that Rick Smith, you know, really excelled at. We saw it with AJ Boye, and even guys like Jamal Roll and some of the other players that he brought in were good at that.
Yeah, if there's one thing he was good at, is figuring out the undrafted. And it looks like Brian is not going to go that way. And that's understandable too. I mean, who's to say that his new method won't work, but he needs to be on the phone with these guys.
You got to bring in a body. You know, we got to bring in a body. And Brian, I want to go into a different direction in just a few seconds, talk about maybe some safeties and some other options that that they might want to think about as well. But let me just remind our listeners that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends, let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. If you'd like to check out more podcasts from our national Locked On Network, go to LockedOnSports.com. It's our new Locked On Network website. We got podcasts for nearly every NFL and NBA team. Don't forget our national Locked On NFL Draft and Locked On NFL shows as well. LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. So, Brian, it's just not cornerbacks. I mean, you could move Kareem back over to corner, you know, in a pinch if you had another safety that you brought in. And Dre Howell was a safety. We're talking about losing a safety. So, you know, I look at, hey, there are all these safeties, not just Eric Reed, which everybody's talked about. And, of course, he's the best available. But, obviously, there's some sort of blackballing going on with him. But you got Trey Boston, who had an 81.4 pro football focus rating last year, started 15 games at safety for the Chargers, career highs of 79 tackles, 8 passes defensed, and 5 interceptions. To me, that's a why not option. I mean, Kenny Vaccaro, he started 12 games last year. He was awful from pro football focus ratings, but he was dealing with a torn groin muscle and an injured wrist. He's eventually placed on IR and had surgery for both injuries. It doesn't seem like maybe the groin could be lingering, but obviously the wrist is not going to be lingering. But when you look at, you know, what his history is, this is a guy that's had in his previous two seasons, he's had an 80 pro football focus rating or above. He was a first round pick out of Texas just 5 years ago. And he's a Texas guy. He's a local kid. So, I mean, there's that's another way you can go with it, not just cornerback.
Kenny Vaccaro, yeah, out of all the safeties that are available right now, and I've looked at that as well, I would strongly consider bringing him in just for the sheer facts that you had just presented in regard to that. I mean, he's not going to be the guy, but just a guy that's going to be able to help with depth. This would have been, of course, Andre Howell's role, as you mentioned, but I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on him, and because I don't think he's going to be expensive, considering the fact that he's still available, so I'd say go with it.
Hey, man, we didn't even get a chance to talk about it last week, but the NFL Network finished their top 100 list. And if I told you DeAndre Hopkins, Brian, if I told you he finished 13th, does that sound right to you? Is that where you'd put him?
I'd probably have him a little bit higher, but considering who's ahead of him, I totally get it. I understand. I think the NFL Network got it right.
Okay, well, let's just go through that list. Let's see if there's anybody that you want to stop and think about for a second. And just stop me if I hit somebody. No, nobody's surprised. Tom Brady at number one, then Antonio Brown number two. Brian, hard to argue that Hopkins is better than Antonio Brown. I mean, as much as we'd like to, you got to give respect for what Antonio Brown's done in the NFL.
Jesus, that guy has the things I've seen that guy do with a football is nothing short of amazing. Just the catches that he's had, and it kind of sucked that he got hurt toward the end there, but he came back for the playoffs. But just one of the greatest talents of this era. A shoe-in Hall of Famer. Yeah, I know he's still very young, but he's just one of those amazing football players that you're not going to see for a long time.
Next up at number three, Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, showing some early respect for Wentz after just 2 years in the league. And I'm going to tell you why I think maybe another quarterback or two should be above him.
Yeah, I disagree with that. Yeah, just that high, number three. I mean, let the guy take a snap first in 2018 before putting him up that high. You know, if anything, you can put Nick Foles up a little bit higher. But my goodness, yeah, I disagree with that ranking.
Yeah, I don't know about putting Nick Foles, but there are other great quarterbacks in the NFL that are lower than him. And we're going to get to him. Another wide receiver in the top four, Julio Jones, is next. And Brian, I mean, we could talk about the fact that maybe Julio Jones and Antonio Brown have put up better numbers than DeAndre Hopkins over the last few years. But with what DeAndre Hopkins is working with, I mean, those two guys have Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan. Consistency, good quarterbacks. So, yeah, they're higher, but, you know, it helps to have a quarterback that you can rely on and not guys like Brock Osweiler and Ryan Fitzpatrick and all the guys that, you know, all the Brian Hoyers of the world that DeAndre had to move through over the years.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at least they're giving him respect by putting him almost in the top 10. And I honestly think that over time he is going to get there. He's going to be in the top 10. But a terrific reward for him, just considering the guys that are ahead of him, except for Carson Wentz. I think they've got it right. I mean, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, Drew Brees. And, you know, Drew Brees is almost 40 and is still getting the job done.
Yeah, well, with Brees, that's one of the guys. I mean, I'd put Brees is at 8, Rodgers is at 10.
Yeah.
I mean, why is Aaron Rodgers at 10? It's like out of sight, out of mind. He had a little bit of an injury. Aaron Rodgers should be number 2 as far as I'm concerned. He hadn't done anything to drop that much on the list. And it's interesting that I thought, Brian, because the running backs, Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley, they're number 5 and 6. What's crazy is how little respect running backs get in the draft by the GMs and the scouts. But here we have 2 of them voted by the players in their top 6.
Because they make such a difference for their teams as far as their offense, you know, grounding and pounding, especially with Todd. Todd, you know, I was worried because he just, you know, as soon as McVay came in, he figured out a way to use him because he was vastly underused in Jeff Fisher's system. And look at him now. He's flourishing. One of the best running backs in the league. I think that they're right there, neck and neck, Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley.
Yeah, hard to argue, like you said, the impact players like Aaron Donald, obviously, he deserves to be ahead of, I think, DeAndre. Von Miller's at number 9. Donald was at number 7. Russell Wilson, another quarterback. Quarterbacks, to me, much more impact players than wide receivers. So Russell Wilson at number 11, no biggie. Luke Kuechly at number 12. If anybody's wondering, behind Hopkins is Calais Campbell, then Gronk, Khalil Mack, and then Hopkins' nemesis, Jalen Ramsey. There's none of those top 12 that I mentioned that you would go, oh, for sure, DeAndre should be ahead of those guys.
No, I think they really did get it right. But Carson Wentz, you know, we've got to see how he comes back from his injury, as I mentioned. But Aaron Rodgers, just one of the greatest out there. He is the Green Bay Packers. They wouldn't be anything without him. That's how much of an impact that he makes. But that's right about where I would put him. Yeah, Kuechly, I would probably have him under. Just a slot under. I would have DeAndre. I know he's an impactful linebacker, but I would have moved him down a little bit.
Okay, so there is a guy. So you lied to me when we started this whole thing, Brian.
I did. Oh, I told a white lie. And, I'm having to take it back. My bad. My bad.
All right, we got one more bit of news that sort of relates to the Texans, and we also have a national story too that's pretty huge. But first, want to remind the listeners that if you haven't already, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, go to the show description of each podcast. All of it is right there for you. Make it easy to find for everybody that wants to connect with us. And we want your voice to be part of the conversation. So we definitely want to hear from you. Email LockedOnTexans@mail.com. You can even send a voice memo. We'll use it on the show. And that's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. One of the Texans' AFC South rivals lost a key player for a few games. Colts veteran running back Robert Turbin nailed for PEDs out the first 4 games. That means he's missing game number 4 against the Texans, Brian. And Turbin, you know, he's been working with the first team because they didn't sign Frank Gore, who was their lead guy last year. So I guess you'd call that a big loss for the Colts, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah, any advantage that we can get to win a football game, because it is, you know, we talked about strength of schedule, and, you know, the Texans have one of the easier schedules, but anyone you can get, any advantage you can take, and, you know, we talked about the Patriots not going to have Julian Edelman, you know, whenever it's time to play them the first week of the season. So, I love it. It sucks for them, but not for us.
Go back and listen to that John McClain interview. He mentioned it. The Texans have the easiest schedule of any of the NFL teams, and that should help them, you would think. It changes from year to year which teams are the best teams, and it could flip pretty drastically for a couple of teams. But overall, it's not a bad way to look at the schedule. The other major national story, Brian, Jameis Winston, Bucks quarterback, 3-game suspension for allegedly grabbing a woman's crotch in an Uber. The NFL believes he did it, of course, if they're going to suspend him, after their investigation. But Brian, is that a big enough suspension for that?
I think that it is very wrong for what he did. And again, I'm thinking about, you know, being able to reach across, because normally when you get an Uber, you're sitting in the back seat. So apparently he just kind of reached up and allegedly grabbed this woman's crotch. I mean, either he was sitting in the front seat. I'm trying to figure out how the hell this happened. But again, it's unacceptable. And I think the suspension should have been a lot longer. I mean, I don't know if you've seen lately, but ESPN's Damian Woody, he actually went and said that they should cut him from the team. That's not happening, because if you cut Jameis Winston, who you're going to have to play quarterback? And he would be snatched up in a heartbeat. I mean, he is still a talented quarterback that should be in this league. And that's just the bottom line. And he knows that. But again, he can't continue to go out there and think that he's still in college and can do all these things.
I didn't do that. What do you mean in college? I didn't do that in college. I'm not going out and grabbing girls' crotches. This is somebody that, you know, he's got that huge stain on his record already with, you know, the charge of rape. So, you know, this is somebody that's already, he's got a record, you know, whether it happened or it didn't happen. It looks really bad once you do this, that, hey, maybe that thing that happened in college that, they were trying to brush under the rug and they couldn't get him for that one. The girl that, alleged it, it just couldn't convince the law about it. But geez, this is three games for this, you know, four games for marijuana. I mean, come on, four games for something that is legal in most states is not, you know, I the marijuana thing, obviously that whole thing just ticks me off, because honestly, it's not something that really is a performance enhancer, I don't think. And
it's a performance relaxer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just and we got four games for deflating footballs, but for grabbing a woman's crotch, for sexual assault, whatever. Yeah. Three games. Who cares?
That is not enough. He should have been suspended at least half the season. You know, make it hurt for the Bucks, because they've got to come down with a hammer on him. But three games. I mean, I know he's important to the team, but you got to go out there and make a stand. You got to drop the hammer on him. To encourage him to not do this again. But again, this is alleged because he hasn't been officially charged with a crime. These are all allegations.
It's allegations, but the NFL believes that it happened or they wouldn't have suspended him. I mean, why? If you think she's just making it up, why are you going to drop any suspension on him at all? Or why not let it play out through due process? But yeah, I don't get it. I'm just
keep your hands to yourself. Do it, Jameis.
I don't know. He seems like a guy that I wouldn't want to hang out with at all. If you're thinking about hanging out with Jameis, don't do it. But hey, time to wrap up this show. Don't forget, Brian's got it all covered over on House of Houston, a fan site affiliate. It's houseofhouston.com. You guys know it by now, but in case there's somebody new. Hey, it's Rockets, Astros, Texans, everything going on in Houston sports over there. Also, my Houston Sports Talk podcast. As always, look for it on iTunes or most anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. We talk Rockets and Astros. Hoping to have Chandler Rome, Astros beat writer, on with us this week. Looking for some other interesting interviews that we're going to put up in the next couple of weeks, too. So keep an eye out for that. That's all we got for this one, though. All we got for Locked On Texans. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.